Thank you, Bill. So today we're going to take a look at 1 Kings chapter 19. But to really understand that, let's just rewind a little bit back and take a look at chapter 18. So in chapter 18, it's that Elijah is completely fearless, and we read how the drought was in its third year. It's severe. And God gives Elijah a message to present himself before Ahab because he's going to make it rain. And Ahab sees Elijah and calls him a troublemaker, which is quite funny when he's married to the evil troublemaker Jezebel. And Elijah talks really boldly straight to Ahab. Elijah tells Ahab that it's not him that's the troublemaker, but Ahab and his government. And Elijah says to Ahab, here's what I want you to do. Well, this is a huge thing. This is extremely bold that Elijah is talking to Ahab like this, saying, here's what I want you to do. And Elijah tells Ahab that he wants him to assemble everyone in Israel at Mount Carmel. So Ahab summons everyone at Israel, or everyone in Israel. Now, bear in mind that Elijah is the only prophet of God there, and there are 450 prophets of Baal there. So Elijah is kind of outnumbered here. Yet he challenges the people and basically says to them, make up your minds about who you're serving or who you're going to serve. And I love how the Message translation puts it at this point in chapter 18. It says, nobody said a word, nobody made a move. Can you imagine being there and just this one guy on his own, Elijah, saying this? And he says how they can bring their sacrifice, he'll bring his sacrifice, and the God who answers with fire will prove to be God. And of course, when Elijah prays, the fire of God falls and burns up the offering. The people see what happens and they fall down on their faces in worship. And Elijah says, grab the Baal prophets. And the Baal prophets are killed, and then the rain comes. Now, not too long has passed before we then get to chapter 19, where Ahab reports to Jezebel everything that Elijah has done, including the massacre of the prophets. And Jezebel immediately sent a messenger to Elijah with this threat. Now, Jezebel really wants rid of Elijah. He's just publicly displayed that Yahweh is real and Baal is a fake. So Elijah runs for his life, which running for your life when someone's after you seems like a natural course of action. We see David run when he's being hunted down by his enemies, and Obadiah had put the 100 prophets in hiding, but we don't view them as displaying cowardice for that. But often in church, when it comes to this story, we criticize Elijah for running for his life. So let's focus on the fact here that Elijah gets to this point where he just wants to die. He's had enough. Maybe he's disappointed or discouraged because he'd hoped that this event that's just happened in chapter 18, that there would be a better outcome. Maybe that Ahab would finally recognize that Yahweh is the way. We don't know exactly what is going on in Elijah's head and heart, but it does seem pretty clear that Elijah was exhausted. In verse 3 to 5, we read how he runs for his life. He came to a lone broom bush, this is the Message translation, and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, to just die. Enough of this, God. Take my life. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. And we read how the angel shakes him awake, says, get up and eat. And there's this fresh loaf of bread and jug of water. And Elijah eats the meal and goes back to sleep. Later, the angel of God comes back, shakes him awake again and says, get up and eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead of you. Now, I think it's interesting here that the angel is not saying, Elijah, you fearful fool. This angel is taking care of an exhausted Elijah who needs to eat. Elijah obviously needs some sleep. So the angel comes back and it's time to give him another meal. And I think it's interesting here that the angel gives Elijah time to sleep. There's a bit of time he has here to get his rest, to get back on form. And sometimes we do just need to give people a little time when they're exhausted or very tired. Let's not demand immediate recovery of people. God doesn't hear. Elijah's at the end of his rope, and God sends an angel to take care of him. Have you ever thought that you could be like that angel to someone? Now, perhaps Elijah was just so very tired. He feels he's just taken all he can take. And in that moment, perhaps he had lost a little perspective. You can just imagine him saying it, can't you? I've just had enough, Lord. Now, let's just think about what Elijah has just accomplished for God. You might think of some words to describe it. You can say them quietly under your face mask. There's just been an incredible display of God's power. Elijah has been the human that's brought it about by carrying out God's instructions. The Baal prophets are dead. The rain has come. Things are looking actually a bit better. And in fact, Elijah himself in verse 41 of chapter 18 is saying, celebrate, rain is on the way. And now he's saying, take my life. Why die now of all the times to pick? In the King James Version, it puts verse 4 of 19 as Elijah saying, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers, or the NIV translation puts it, ancestors. So there's almost this sense that somehow, perhaps, Elijah feels like he's failed, even perhaps that he's a failure, that he's perhaps not been able to achieve what he had hoped. Now, interestingly, he doesn't repeat this request that his life is taken after he's had sleep and food. After he's had some sleep and food, he's strengthened or nourished, and he gets up again and travels. Sometimes we just need a good sleep and a good meal. It can be easy to lose a little perspective when we're really tired. When we're really tired, we don't always make great decisions. In fact, we know that sometimes we make bad decisions even when we're not tired. This is another reason to look after ourselves. Looking after ourselves physically is important. We can do good and be at our best, but that can soon change if we're not looking after ourselves. And if you think about it here, Elijah is asking God to take away his life rather than, you know, God, do another great work like you've just done. It actually doesn't make sense logically. He's not thinking in the best way and clearly needed rest and to hear God's voice. And when we compare chapters 18, this story that I just summarized at the start, and chapter 19 here, where Elijah's running for his life and requesting that his life is taken, it's like Elijah's lost his way a bit, isn't it? Even this incredible man of God, who's been so bold, has this moment where it just all seems too much. We can be quick to criticize others around us when they lose their way a bit. But perhaps we should think about their well-being, that maybe they're actually really tired and just need some encouragement. Perhaps instead of criticize, we actually need to be that messenger from God that simply provides them with a meal or shows some care for them. Now, in the pandemic, we might not be able to do all the things that we would usually do, but we could order a food delivery for someone. When it's safe, we can deliver someone food, things that they might need during the time. Now, perhaps Elijah was not just physically tired, but perhaps he was also very tired of being alone. We read in chapter 18, Elijah says he's the only one left. And it would appear from verse 10 of 19 that the 100 prophets that Obadiah hides from Jezebel, who's trying to kill them, that's referred to in chapter 18, it would appear that they're dead. Now, there is some debate about this. So Elijah could mean that he's the only faithful prophet left. It could be that Elijah was the only prophet that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal or given up. It's also possible when we look at the Hebrew text that Elijah is saying that he's a prophet alone rather than the only prophet. The point is, we don't know for certain all of the exact details or exactly how long Elijah was the only prophet around. But we do know Elijah is really on his own in this situation and at this time. He's the only one there, serving God there, carrying out God's instruction in very scary circumstances. So the word of God comes to Elijah. So Elijah, what are you doing here? Verse 10, he says, I've been working my heart out for the God of the angel army. Then he goes on to say, I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. I think one can see why Elijah may have perhaps been feeling a little alone or isolated. Have you ever felt like you're the only one? Maybe the only one in your workplace, the only one in your school, the only one around where you are. We see in this conversation that Elijah is expressing he's fed up, and quite frankly, you know, who can blame him? And there's no sort of, stop being pathetic or any of that. The response is just, verse 11, go stand on the mountain at attention before God. God will pass by. And this suggests to me that God cares, that God turns up for us. Are you tired of being alone and isolated? Do you need strength? Turn to God and experience his presence and his voice. We need to listen to the voice of God. We read that there's the wind and the earthquake and the fire, but God's voice isn't in these things. His voice is a still, small voice, or a quiet voice, or also described as a gentle and quiet whisper. Sometimes we expect God to speak to us in these dramatic ways. We may think that we need a dramatic prophecy or even a public prophecy for us to know God's voice on something. But actually, God can speak to us in a really personal way, without any need for sparks and dramatic effects, in a way that sometimes really we can only catch, that's meant for just us, that whisper that's just for us, perhaps more powerful to our hearts than the earthquake or the fire. It's for us to hear. There doesn't need to be this dramatic, everyone see and everyone hear kind of thing. Now, Elijah hears the voice of God, and there are several outcomes from this. Here's three of them. Elijah has clear instruction on what to do next, which is something that he needs. Elijah finds out that there is Elisha, someone who can succeed him as prophet. This is great news. There's hope. The work will continue. And thirdly, Elijah finds out that there's actually 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal, that have not kissed his image. Now, Elijah didn't have this information before. He couldn't see that there were actually 7,000 people that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. I imagine that Elijah felt quite overwhelmed when he was facing all he was facing from what we read in this chapter 19. Like the servant in 2 Kings 6 who sees all the horses and chariots that surround and goes to Elisha panicking, saying, what are we going to do? And Elisha prays, oh God, open his eyes and let him see. And the eyes of the young man were opened and he saw. And he sees actually this mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire, that actually there are angels all around. And the reality is that all that we can see may be all that we can see right now, but it's not everything. We don't see everything. We may feel tired of being alone, tired of being isolated, but be encouraged because God is at work. We may not see what he's doing, how he's working for us, even how things can change. We love singing that song here, sometimes, "We're Maker, even when I can't see it, you're working." We may only see the challenges that we face right now in the current pandemic. We may feel pain, hopelessness, discouragement, loneliness, grief. We may feel surrounded by darkness. Perhaps even you're in a situation where you just feel surrounded by deception or evil. But don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep pressing on. Keep praying, because God is with us and he is at work, and our prayers and actions can change things. It doesn't mean that we always have the victories that we hope for. There were still the 100 prophets that had died, but in the end, God has the final victory. So let's pray that God will open our eyes to see beyond pain, beyond the hurt, beyond the disappointment, beyond the exhaustion that we may have experienced or been experiencing. Perhaps you've got to the point where Elijah did, where you just feel that you can't take any more. Maybe you're at the lowest point and you feel that there's just nothing to even live for anymore. But there is hope. Don't give up now. Let's listen to God's voice, to what he is saying to us, and be encouraged. One of the things that I love about Elijah is that he continued to be obedient despite his feelings in this kind of little episode that we see in chapter 19. Elijah prays when he's offering the sacrifice in chapter 18. "Make it known right now that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I'm doing what I'm doing under your orders." And he goes on to say that you are giving these people another chance at repentance. And just as a side note, how incredible is that? That God still wants to give the people another chance. That God still loves and wants the people, even when they've really gone off the rails, even against God. We kind of have this image of a fearless, bold man. Perhaps Elijah was terrified at times and just did what God told him to do regardless and was obedient. We don't get the tone of Elijah's prayer here in verse 36 of chapter 18, but I do wonder what Elijah was feeling and what the tone of that prayer was. You know, was he absolutely terrified as he prayed this? Now, if Elijah was afraid when Jezebel threatened his life, I'm pretty sure he was also afraid back in chapter 18, where we actually see him being so bold. James talks of Elijah and says in James 5:17, "Elijah was a man just like us." Elijah was human, and you know, perhaps we can overcome challenges like Elijah did, when it may be that we're the only one. Elijah had a moment where he was ready to pack it all in, but he moves forward. He doesn't stay in that place. Life can hurt sometimes. Maybe you've had or you're having that moment. Maybe that moment seems to be going on for a long time. But I want to encourage you. Turn to God, let him take care of you. Listen to his voice and keep serving him with hope for the future. Let's move forward. It can be easy to fall into a trap where we start this inward-looking kind of phase, like Elijah has, where he starts to say that, you know, he's no better than his fathers or ancestors, and becomes kind of focused on these feelings that he has. But God speaks to Elijah and gives him work to do, and he gets up and goes on his way again. And church, we have work to do. Let's put our energy into that instead of our feelings or destructive or unhelpful thought patterns, such as becoming consumed with feeling like a failure, or like we'll never make a real difference, or like there's nothing more to live for. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you take care of us. We thank you that you help us to get back up again and to move forward. We thank you that you speak to us in ways we can understand. Thank you for your voice that guides us, that encourages us, that strengthens us. We remind ourselves today that we are your servants. We receive strength from you and choose to keep serving you, moving forward for the extension of your kingdom. Amen.